All right, let's go ahead tonight and let's get out our heart searching for personal revival. Is there anyone here tonight that does not have a copy of this? Anyone here tonight? Brother Jimmy, you don't? Would you get Brother Jimmy one? Anyone else? All right. And Sister Margaret needs one. A heart searching for personal revival. Now hold on to it because we got one more Wednesday night in this. But we've been going through this, just a series of questions on Wednesday night. We do not take near the time that we ought to take on it. You could easily get to spend months on this thing. This is a rush job. I know it is. But it's just a series of questions we're asking ourselves. We're trying to answer them honestly and let God deal with our hearts about things that may be in our heart that would stop revival in our lives personally and would stop revival in this church. And I don't know about you, but it has been cleaning my clock, man. This is a tough deal. If you answer it honestly, at times it's hard to feel very good about yourself. But hey, man, that's what it's all about. If we're rotten, we need to see that we're rotten. Amen. If we got a problem, we need to see that we have a problem. Then we can get it fixed. Here's something I know about a man. Here's something I know about a woman. Here's something I know about all humanity. You can't get help for nothing if you don't think you have a problem. Answer the thing honestly. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks or is doing and all that kind of stuff. And please remember our key verse. Please remember the main verse. I hope you can halfway memorize the thing before we get finished with this next Wednesday night. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So the idea is that we just not only confess our sins, that's the start. You can't forsake them if you don't know you got them. You confess them, but then God wants us to do more than just confess them. I know some people, they stand up and somehow feel better about themselves because they're able to, like, to go to AA meeting or something and to stand up and tell everybody, I'm a sinner. This is what I do. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. And have no intention of forsaking your sin. What good is making a lot of confession? Maybe you think it's making you feel better, but it ain't making you no better. God wants us to confess our sins with the intentions of, with His help, forsaking our sins. Amen? That's what brings true revival. So let's go ahead and get started into this tonight. The first scripture we'll look at tonight is Colossians 3:9. And it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Here we go. Here's the first six questions under this. Do you engage in empty and unprofitable conversation? Oh, boy. If you're honest, you do at times. You know what that Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. We need to be careful about who we are around. We need to be careful about what we talk to. What we talk about to those that we're around. I tell you, you have to be careful. The devil can get into your conversation in a minute. It won't take long. And so we need to be very careful about what we say and how we use our mouth, because once the words go out, you cannot retrieve them. Amen? They're out there. So we need to watch. We need to say, God, if you don't do anything for me in this revival, may I have a revival of my mouth. May I watch what my tongue, how I use it. I want to use it for you, Lord. I don't want to use it to tear down people and gossip and backbite and speak ugly and say ugly things. I want you to help me. Do you ever lie? It's the second one. Well, the Bible says all men are liars, so yeah. You know, let God be true and every man a liar. Yeah. Yeah, you lie. Everybody lies. I've had somebody that's close to me will vehemently say that she doesn't lie. And caught her in lies. And if you try to tell this particular person that she lies, she'll get so righteously indignant towards you. But she does lie. Some of you will be like that too. I don't lie. Yes, you do. If I'm around you long enough, I can show you where you lie. Lying ain't just what you say, it's what you don't say. Lying is giving an impression of something and purposely misleading somebody. You mighty right you lie. Lying is when the phone rings and you say, tell him I'm not home. Tell him I'm not home. That's all lying. Amen. Everybody to some extent or another, you look in that Bible, look at all the good men that God used that were liars and they lied. Bunch of them just telling lies all the time. You know, I used to tell my son when he was little, I used to say, son, you're never no more like the devil than when you're lying. The first thing he showed up doing when he showed up was lying. And that's what he does to get people in the hell. He lies to them. And the Bible says he's a liar and he's the father of lies. God help us to be honest people. Amen. Do you ever exaggerate? Oh, yeah, that bass was that long. The bass was that long. By the time I told the story, it was that long. Oh, yeah, we exaggerate. We embellish. Do you ever cheat? Bible says, by the way, and it says, do you steal? Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole, steal no more. Do you overcharge? You say, I don't steal. You might be more of a thief than you think. You ever rob God of what you owe him? You ever rob God and steal that time he's given you to do what he's not told you to do? There's a lot of ways you can steal. It ain't just money. It ain't just taking something. You can steal time. You can steal in many different ways, and I'm thinking of some, and I'm not going to continue and comment on that, but just ask yourself, you guilty of stealing? Do you overcharge? You that have, you know, I don't know who in here, I'm trying to think of anybody in here that does their own business or works for anybody or whatever now, I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with you making a good living, but you know, it ought to be comparable to everybody else. If the average going rate of a profit on a job is $1,500 for that job and you charging $3,000 for that job, probably not right. I wouldn't even have a problem with if the average rate was 15 and you got 2,000 for it, because you may do better work than everybody. But if you just trying to stick it to them, then amen. Boy, when you start talking about that, you lose people. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, here's some questions here. Do you have any personal habits that are not pure? You have any personal habits that are not pure? They're not right. Let the Holy Spirit show you right now what he's talking about. What is he trying to convict you of in your heart right here tonight? Number two, do you allow impure thoughts about the opposite sex to stay in your mind? You know what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5? It talks about casting down imagination. It talks about taking every thought captive. I want to say this to you men, because mostly men struggle with this much more than women. Men are much more visual than women are. And I've never met a man that was a normal man that at some point in time in his life didn't struggle with this, and some struggle with it more than others. I know that. But every normal man will struggle with this. And we are fixing to come up on a terrible season. I always dread hot weather and the fact that 85 to 90% of the women want to get naked when it gets hot. You can't tell me that woman just goes in that closet and just haphazardly picks out her wardrobe. She's picking it out so you'll look at her. I don't know why she won't. There may be different motives as to why she wants you to look at her, but she wants you to look at her. Now, here's the thing. I've heard it said this before, men. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I cannot control what bird flies over my head, but I do not have to let it build a nest in my hair. You understand? You're out at Walmart, you pull up to the pump, it's when they're fixing to get in these 85 and 90 degree weather, and you're praising the Lord and singing for God, and here she comes. Pulls right up by you. And listen, let me tell you what he'll do to you. And I hate to sort of talk like this around women, but if they're any age, they already know all this about you men anyway. The devil will have just the right woman to pull up for you. See, if we polled these men in here, different men find different things physically attractive about a woman. They're different. And I won't elaborate any more than that. I will say this. The devil will have the woman that you're attracted to pull up to you and flash you. Get out. Going down through Walmart, going down through town, just half naked, just enough clothes on to cover up a nap. And if I'm minding my own business and I'm trying to serve the Lord, I walk around the corner, whoa, hey, there she is. That's not my fault, that's on her. And by the way, women, God will get you for that. You're not doing that for your husband. You're doing that because you want somebody else. No Christian husband wants his wife to walk around naked. So if you're doing it, you're doing it to show your body to somebody else besides him. Amen, that's good preaching. Keep looking at me and I'll preach 10 more minutes on it. I know what I'm talking about. But when I walk around, I go, whoa, there it is. That's not on me right now. You know what it's time to do? Go down the next aisle. It's time not to look. It's time to sing, Jesus love me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. When I see her, I must go. That Bible says, flee, flee. You don't take a stand against, lust. You flee it. You run. That's what Joseph did. When Potiphar's wife tried to get a hold of him, bless God, he left his coat, but he kept his character. You don't play around with it. You need to develop habits of getting that mess out of your mind and quit looking at it and associating with it. Do you allow impure thoughts about the opposite sex stay in your mind? Do you read that which is impure or suggests unholy things like romance novels? Amen. Like romance novels. Like laying in a bed at night fantasizing, wishing your husband was like whoever you're reading about in a stupid romance novel. That's straight from hell. Amen. It's quiet as a turkey on Thanksgiving Day, brother. Do you indulge in any unclean entertainment? This is stuff going to stop revival. Radio, computer, movies, TV. Oh, here we go, that legalistic preaching. You think what you want to, brother. But I'm going to tell you something. We got no business watching some of the stuff that the average Christian watches and listens to. That stuff will defile your mind. Listen, if I want to keep my heart and my mind clean for the sake of me living for Jesus Christ and for the sake of honoring my wife, the thing I don't want to do is stupid things like order the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated. I said, you don't have to think about that. You know, if you want to watch a ball game on Sunday, when the halftime comes and the Dallas Cowboys are playing, watch the Cowboys. Don't watch the Cowgirls. I've been in a house where preachers many a time will be there watching the ball game. As soon as they flip over to her, they change the channel. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. Hey, they're still married. They love their wives. They're in love. They ain't run off on them yet. You got to keep that mess. You don't need to be looking at that stuff, thinking about that stuff, or dwelling on that stuff. If you are a normal man and you keep exposing yourself to that, it's going to come back and get you. I don't care who you are. You have to fight that stuff. Do you indulge in any unclean entertainment? Are you guilty of the lustful look? You know what Matthew 5:28 says? Jesus said this, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You say, I ain't never cheated on my wife. I've been faithful to her. I've never cheated on her. What about your heart? Bible says you look on a woman and you look on her and you lust on that woman. That Bible says you've committed adultery with her in your heart. I'm going to tell you what I'm finding out too, see. Society has gotten so perverted. Society has gotten so messed up. Used to, I'm telling you, even when I was a teenager coming along, it was men. I want to be careful what I say, and I hate to say stuff like this, but I remember when I was a teenager and we got the bad magazines and looked at some of the bad pictures and stuff. There's not one girl that I ever know of that did that. It was all men. It was all teenage boys. I don't remember no girls doing that. I'm sure there were, but you didn't know about it. Do you know that they've come out with a recent statistic of how much now women have closed the gap that are in the pornography, watching it, being a part of it? Have you noticed in the last few? Listen, when I was a teenager, now you tell me, you're going to agree with me if you think about this. When I was a teenager, if you ever heard about anybody fooling with a kid or somebody underage, it was always a man doing it, wasn't it?
Have you been listening to the radio and the news lately? Hey, just as many women molesting kids and men and teenage boys as men are. The women have gotten as perverted as the men. You better watch that, lady. You better watch that. You better watch that. You better watch it. It's bad enough when the man's like that. But when that woman gets perverted and nasty like that man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And you gotta watch that stuff. We live in a different world, don't we? I remember also, I was a teenager in the 80s. This ain't been that long ago. I remember when I was a teenager, if you heard about an adulterous affair or somebody cheating on somebody or a family fixing to be divorced, it was that man had left his wife and he's run off on his wife with a woman. It was always a man. What do you hear now? That woman is just as big of a whoremonger and a whore as that man ever was now. Women, you've come a long way, women. We want the rights like the man. We want the pay like the man. We want to be just like, yeah, you become just like the man, just as wicked as him. There's something wrong whenever you see women degrade themselves as bad as men are. We've always known that men are nasty. You've always expected men to be filthy and dirty minded. It's not right, it's wicked as hell, but that's how men are. You expect, you know, hey man, there'll be some purity in this woman. And I remember when I was young, when a woman would come around, and man, people would be drinking and cussing, they'd put their beer down, they'd quit telling their dirty jokes, they'd clean their language up out of respect for that woman. They don't do it now, that woman's cussing in there with them. That woman's telling just as many nasty jokes as they are. A woman's laughing and ha-haing about it just like them. Society's messed up when the woman gets on the same level as the man. That's where we're at. Now, who I'm preaching to tonight, but take the warning. Ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to help you. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see the day approaching. Number one, do you stay away from meetings of preaching the gospel? You ought to come to church when you can. I preach that and teach that here. I know people get tired of hearing it. I know it sounds like a broken record, but you are not going to get too much church. We don't have enough church. The more services you can go to and get a part of, the more it will help you. It says, do you whisper or think about other things while God's word is being read or preached? Yes, you do. I see it. By the way, let me tell some of you folks something. Everybody look up here at me. This is going to embarrass you, but this will help you. You're not hiding from me. I see you. I've got a good view of you. I see you when you're texting. I see you when you're jiggling with the car keys and flipping through the songbook. I see you when you're filing your fingernails. I see you when you're goo-gooing and gaga-ing at the babies and playing and laughing at them while I'm preaching on hell up here. I see that. You think God's going to do anything for you? You're crazy. I never thought I'd see the day in the ministry when a 35 and 40, 45 and 50 year old people will be out playing with a baby while the preacher's preaching. I know I got your attention now, bless God. That's wrong. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kent. I'm glad you got some guts. We want God to come in here and bless us. The people bring their babies in here and playing with them and laughing and giggling. And I'm up here preaching. I ain't even hearing nothing I'm saying. Sending text messages, reading your text and looking at your cell phone. God ain't going to touch that outfit with a 10-foot pole. It's disrespectful to me, and most of all, it's disrespectful to God. You mom and daddies ought to get a hold of your teenagers. I don't care if they don't sit with you, that's fine, but you ought to make sure wherever they're sitting in this church service, they ain't fooling around. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. Whispering and talking and moving around and playing. Are you irregular in attendance at services? A lot of people are. Do you neglect to attend and participate in meeting for prayer? We've been having this men's prayer meeting. Out of all the things that goes on in this church, I feel the presence of God more in that men's prayer meeting than anything we ever do here. And we can't never get over 5 or 6 men to show up. Have you neglected, slighted daily or private prayer? Are you praying every day like you ought to? Have you neglected Thanksgiving at meals? Just stuff your gut, just eat like there ain't no tomorrow, and never thank God for it.
Having neglected family devotions. You ought to have them. Even if you just have one little scripture and one little thought and it don't take but 5 minutes, it's worth it. I can understand you as a husband and wife. I mean, if you're coming to church regular and you got your, like we preached on it the other Sunday, your own thing, and long as you're doing your own thing, it's not nearly as necessary. But when you got a youngin' at home, it's necessary. It means something. Or a grand youngin', some of you, take time with your grandchildren. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Here we go. Number one, do you hesitate to submit to leaders in the church or elsewhere? That is another big problem in society. People don't want to submit to authority. They want to be a maverick, especially in the local church. We got it now in the local church where people think they ought to vote on everything. People think they ought to get together and have committees about stuff and make the decisions in the church. Can I tell you something? That ain't nowhere in the Bible. You couldn't find that with a magnifying glass. That pastor has a spiritual leadership in that church. There's the verse and there's others. Don't get mad at me because of your ignorance of the Bible. I'm not trying to be ugly here, but when God puts a man in charge, he's in charge. God will deal with that man. He deals with you about your anarchy. And by the way, when I leave this church, I have people I have to submit to. If a woman pulls me over going home tonight and says, sir, get your license out, I'm going to say, yes, ma'am, I'm getting them out. Everybody's got, I've worked for women. I've had women bosses, the women in government, whatever. Everybody has their authority. And there's authority here at this church. And we're not going to have no revival if you're bucking your authority. Now, if I'm asking you to do something that's a clear, blatant sin, you don't have to do that. You ought to obey God rather than man. But if it's just something you don't like or you don't want to do or personally you wouldn't do or I don't think this is, hey man, you got to pray and ask God to change me or go along with the thing. What you don't have the right to do is get little factions and stuff started on the phone and people over here and folks over here and meeting with people and having secret meetings and phone calls to get them on your side against that preacher. Can I hear an amen from anybody tonight? You better amen me or I ain't going to go on. That stuff happens all the time and it's wicked. It's wicked and divisive. You've only got one, somebody is the, gotta be the leader in this thing under Jesus Christ. Anything with two heads is a monster. You say, why are you preaching so hard on that? Anybody giving you any trouble? Not one person. There's not one person in this church right now bothering me about my authority in this church at all. Not one person. I just know how Baptists are. I just know how Christians are. And I know how it will ruin a church if that happens. No, it will. I've seen it too much. Are you lazy? My daddy always told me there was a difference between somebody that's sorry and lazy. I said, what's that, Daddy? He said, well, a sorry fella won't go to work. He said, a lazy fella will get a job and go to work. He just won't do nothing when he gets there. You ought not be lazy. But let me tell you something, men. Some of you men, you ain't lazy at all. You'll work 6 and 7 days a week. You'll put in 50 or 60 hours. And you should. You should work. We should teach these young men how to work. But can I remind you that the worst laziness of all was spiritual laziness? Don't you brag about how many hours a week you put in, how you work hard and work your fingers to a bone, and you're too lazy to pray, you're too lazy to read your Bible, you're too lazy to win a soul, you're too lazy to get up and come to church, you're too lazy to do a devotion with children, with your wife, you're just too lazy. Amen. Thank you again, brother. Thank you. I need that support back there tonight. I appreciate it. Spiritual laziness is the worst laziness of all. Don't you brag to me about how hard you work and how you make your own money and you're a self-made man, all that other stupid mess, when you're lazy in the things of God. Do you rebel at requests given to you to help in the work of the gospel? Some do. But can you help? Can you show up? Can you do this? Knowing you can, you just don't. Do you have in any way a stubborn or unteachable spirit?
Y'all can't tell me anything. I already know everything. Everything you're trying to tell me, I already know. You can't teach a fellow that knows everything. You can't teach somebody that knows everything. You say, who's that talking about right there? Talking about somebody that's got a stubborn, unteachable spirit. Every male that... There's some elbow poking back there, but I was going to say, every male from the age of about 15 to 20, you can't tell them boys nothing. Amen. Amen. They know it all. You can't teach them nothing. Past 20, some of them past 20. Some younger than 50. There we go. Now we get some response. You know what? I got a bunch of faults. A bunch of faults. Believe me, more than you can ever imagine. If there was one thing that's kept me in the ministry and made me as decent as I am, and that's probably not much, and I'd amen that if you say that, as I have always surrounded myself with older, but not just with younger people than me that know more than me about something. I'm constantly asking pastors questions, reading their books, listening to their sermons, calling them on the phone, getting their ideas. And I don't always use them, but a lot of times I do. You say, why would you do that? Because I got enough sense to realize there's people out there that know more than me. Ain't that a novel idea? You mean there's somebody out there that knows more than me? Yeah, a lot of them. But if you know everything, you sure can't get any help. Last section tonight, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. No, I got rough up in here. Hey, Brother Kent. When we say the prayer and I say amen, you run. You get a head start. Maybe you get a, run down the highway. I'll pick you up. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here's the last four questions. Have you allowed yourself to become spotted by the world? Many of us have. You know, we have to get cleansed every day in the precious word of God and ask God to forgive us and wash us in the blood and go on. Number two, is your manner of dress pleasing to God? Now, there's a lot of people talk about, and all in the Bible it talks about is modest apparel. And so, you know, there's other indications of things about, you know, if your thigh's uncovered, that's nakedness and all that. Here's the main thing about all that, because you don't want to add to something that ain't in the Bible, okay? We're not going to turn into no legalistic type thing, and we start measuring hemlines and all that stupid mess, okay? Here's the thing. Here's how you do it. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's what you'll do, ladies. Now, I know men need to do this too, but it's mostly women that have the problem with dressing revealing. And if you've got a problem with that, ladies, and you're just, you know, you're wrong. Mostly women. I see very few men. Matter of fact, most women wouldn't find it appealing for you to wear your tight shirt with three buttons down to show your two gray chest hairs. Okay. That just don't work for, yeah, I mean, yeah, that don't work for women. Okay. But women knows what works for men, and that's why you dress like you do. And it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Hey, that clears it all up. Just dress to please God as your motive, and then you'll always be right, ladies. When you go to that closet and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm not dressing for no other man today but you. And then pull her out. Some of you women ain't got the guts to do that. Do you? Do you? Jesus, I don't want to wear nothing that flatters me or fits my figure or shows off the best part of my body at all. Jesus, I just want to do what you said in this book. Just dress to please you. Now we're getting to some revival. So you may not want revival as much. Oh, yeah, I want God to show me something tonight. He's showing you something. He's showing you to keep your stuff covered up. He's showing you to dress to draw attention to him, not to you.
That's what he's showing you. That's not legalistic preaching. That's Bible. Whatsoever you do, everything you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not, the Bible says, not unto men. You don't dress for men. You dress for God. And that will solve the whole thing. God, what do you think makes me look pretty? Not what that pervert that I'm trying to impress. Because what God thinks is pretty is much different than he is. We better go on. Man, we are just ripping it. I tell you what, we got the bottom plowed down, brother. We're about 12 inches deep. There's clods and stumps flying everywhere. There's body parts flying. It's on now. It's on like Donkey Kong tonight, ain't it? Yeah, amen. Amen. Do you spend beyond what is pleasing to God on anything? Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. We do, don't we? Even the ones of you in here that maybe are very generous with your money toward the Lord, we still spend it on. And listen, I'm not going to get in that. I'm not one of these preachers. I believe that God gives you money to enjoy, and there's nothing wrong with you spending money on pleasures and enjoying yourself and taking vacation to a thing. I'm not preaching against that now. I'm not. And owning some stuff. If you've worked hard and you've given your money to God and you've been a good Christian, he blesses you to have something. There ain't nothing wrong with it. And you don't have to apologize for it. But are you overindulging? I can tell you're overindulging if the extra money you have, 1 or 2% of it goes to the work of the Lord, and 25 and 30% of it goes to your work, what you want to do, your weekend toys, weekend getaways, shopping trips. I'm glad there's only one more of these. And by the way, one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. You know what temperance is? Temperance ain't that you can't have nothing. You just need not to have too much. Temperance is controlling yourself. Do you neglect to pray about the things that you buy? I know a lot of people do. That's why they can't pay for what they got. Why don't you try this next time before you buy a car? God, do you really want me to have this car? Well, it's just, I like that car. I like this style. I've been wanting one since I was 20 years old. I'm 45. I've never owned a four-wheeler. I'm 45. I've never owned a boat. I'm 45. I've never owned a Benelli shotgun like I'd love to have. What else have I never owned that most men get to have, Darby? You know what I learned years ago? I learned there were some things Dennis Knowles couldn't have and live debt-free and give to God. You know what I chose? I said I'd rather live debt-free and be able to give to God and not have them. All right, every head bowed and eye closed.